Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet and learn from one of Minnesota's prominent Yellow Ribbon companies. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
We observe National Hispanic Heritage Month from September 15th through October 15th each year to celebrate the histories, cultures, and contributions of American citizens whose ancestors came from Spain, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central and South America. September 15th is an important date because it marks the anniversary of the independence of five Latin American countries: Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. Our soldiers and airmen of Hispanic descent contribute daily to the success of our mission. Their unique cultural experiences add value to our organization and our communities. This value has inspired our organization to get involved in local Hispanic community events throughout the year across our state. The Minnesota National Guard continuously seeks the enlistment of soldiers that reflect the communities in which we serve. We strive to promote an environment that truly represents the demographics of the soldiers we lead.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach for the State of Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Great to be here.
Annette, as most of our listeners know, you're one of our producers, and we regularly meet with you to talk about communities, churches, and companies who have joined the Yellow Ribbon Network here in Minnesota. What are we up to now?
Well, we're up to 56 companies, and we're 95 networks in 223 cities and 26 counties across the state. And they're doing a great job in synchronizing efforts of support.
And you've been with this program since the start because you were instrumental in organizing the first Yellow Ribbon community.
Yes, we started with the city of Farmington, and we really got all the kinks out of the program, and the community program was so successful, we started the company program to synchronize with our great companies in Minnesota.
Annette, did you ever dream that you'd be in a position where you'd have built this great Yellow Ribbon network here in Minnesota?
Well, it wasn't just me. It's a whole team of people, volunteers, and lots of leadership support within the Minnesota National Guard and Veterans Affairs.
And today we're going to talk about Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota, and you've got an event coming up next week. It's the Fall Yellow Ribbon Summit, and it's going to be held at Prudential Financial. And we're going to speak to some of the Prudential Financial Yellow Ribbon folks today. And who's up first?
Yes, I'd really like to highlight our Prudential Financial and all the great things they're doing. So Judy Dykhuizen is the Vice President of Human Resources for the individual life insurance portion of Prudential Financial. And she has really been a point person in leading this company through the process to become a Yellow Ribbon company.
And Judy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here today.
Now, Judy, how long have you been with Prudential Financial?
I've been with Prudential Financial for a short 30 years, which I think is a strong testimonial to what an amazing company it is to work for.
And have you been on the team since you started the process of becoming Yellow Ribbon?
Yes, I have, Tom. In fact, in 2012, by attending a recent or local human resources community meeting, Annette was presenting, and we heard more about the Yellow Ribbon opportunity and how to become designated. We subsequently pursued the opportunity and became designated as a company in 2013.
So you're another disciple that became under the influence of Annette Kuiper.
Yes, her impact is far-reaching, I will say that.
We've met and talked to many, many Yellow Ribbon organizations that she's influenced. Now, can you tell me, what does it mean for Prudential Financial to become a Yellow Ribbon company?
So, Tom, it means a lot, and we've had some excellent experiences over the last 4 years. This has been quite the journey. What we have learned is really by developing this network within our company, we've been able to unite key areas to show our support for transition into the workplace for service members and really creating support structures for employees that are affected by military deployments. So, we've also been able to really help our company effort to demonstrate our commitment not only to our employees, but the community that we do business in, who happens to also be a designated Yellow Ribbon community. And we've been able to partner with our Veterans Initiative Office as well as our Community Resources Office to have a much farther reach around our veteran efforts locally and more broadly across the community.
Now, Judy, for most of our Yellow Ribbon companies, in order to have a successful process of becoming Yellow Ribbon, they have to have some executive buy-in and some good support. Did you get that type of support from Prudential Financial?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. I mentioned at the top that it was a journey. So there's a bit of education to do because this program, of course, is particular to Minnesota, and I know that it's branching out beyond. But our company headquarters is located in Newark, New Jersey. And as I mentioned, we have the great support of a Veterans Initiative Office, and you'll hear a little bit more about that later from our lead Veterans Initiative Officer, Jim Beamsdorfer. But we really aligned efforts in helping them to understand the benefits of becoming a designated Yellow Ribbon company locally. And there were many benefits that we associated with this opportunity. So we aligned efforts with our Veterans Initiative Office, as I mentioned, our Community Resources Office, and then certainly we needed the support of our local management to make this a successful endeavor.
We're speaking with Annette Kuiper and Judy Dykhuizen from Prudential Financial on Minnesota Military Radio. Judy, what are some of the benefits associated with being designated Beyond the Yellow Ribbon employer?
Tom, there's quite a list, but I'll pick a few that really are headliners for us and things that we've been really proud of. Certainly, it's given us an opportunity to show our commitment and proudly display that we've gone through the due diligence to become designated as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon employer. This has not only been beneficial to our existing workforce and those veterans that we might have employed and their military families, but it's also uniquely positioned us as we go out into the community and we talk about not only how proud we are of our company and our brand, our products and services, but really we think about acquiring talent, the talent that we need to make this a great company. And being a Yellow Ribbon designated employer really helps us to tell that story broadly and very, very much in a focused manner in our veterans communities. For example, we attend several veterans recruiting events annually. So we proudly display the work that we've done around our designation, and we talk to potential talent about what the company can offer in the way of employment, career opportunities, and support for our veteran families and their military family members.
Judy, we've just got a couple minutes left in this segment. Can you share with our listeners what it takes to become Yellow Ribbon?
Absolutely. I mentioned previously there's a bit of a due diligence effort. Annette is instrumental in helping to facilitate that. She really partnered very closely with us for a period of about 6 months where we were able to demonstrate to her through the program's requirements that we did have the opportunity to synchronize efforts around our company's policies, managerial support, education, and community efforts, that we were able to meet the requirements to satisfy becoming designated as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon employer. Once we were able to do that, we had the great opportunity to have a declaration ceremony on site where we had a number of officials, including Annette, to really help us celebrate that we met all of the requirements and to engage our employees in the opportunity to also celebrate becoming designated.
And Judy, how did the employees of Prudential Financial react to the fact that you were proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon company?
Tom, there was a lot of excitement. We had folks coming out from our corporate office, our global communications, but what was really special about it is that employees recognized that this was something we did not need to do. It was something we wanted to do, not only, again, to show support of all veterans, but to really recognize that we have veterans in our workplace, we have military families in our workplace and in our community, and being a good community partner, it was an opportunity for us to really display our efforts in this space, and we are very proud of the work that we've done over the last 4 years.
And over that period of time, has this designation helped you to attract veterans to work at Prudential Financial?
Absolutely. I mentioned we have a story to tell, and, you know, we had a good story to tell previous to this, but it's one additional effort that shows that we really are mindful of the diversity that, you know, veterans have to offer. And when we think about casting our net very wide when it thinks about diverse talent, you know, we welcome the opportunity to bring in veterans and military families, and to really recognize that we understand and support the issues associated with either being a veteran or a military family, and that is definitely a part of our diversity strategy around our talent and our talent acquisition.
Judy, thanks for visiting with us today.
Glad to be here, Tom. It's been a pleasure.
That's Judy Dykhuizen from Prudential Financial. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jim Biemisdorfer, Vice President of Veterans Initiatives for Prudential Financial, and find out more about their journey to become Yellow Ribbon and what it's meant to the company. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been talking to Prudential Financial about their process of becoming Yellow Ribbon and all about the fact that they're going to host a Yellow Ribbon Summit next week. And my co-host for the show today is Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach for the Department of Military Affairs here in Minnesota. And Annette, you've been working with Prudential Financial for several years.
Yes, it's been just a delight. And one of the first steps we did was capture all the great things they're already doing, even before they applied to become a Yellow Ribbon company. So it's great to hear all their great best practices today.
And would you like to introduce our next guest?
Yeah, so I would like to introduce Jim Biemisdorfer, the Vice President of Veterans Initiatives, who really is heading up a lot of the great things that are happening at Prudential.
Jim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Sir, I understand that you were a graduate of West Point, 1991.
That is correct. I graduated from West Point in 1991. I was commissioned a second lieutenant in the infantry. Served 6 years on active duty, and I left the Army in 1997 as a captain.
Well, Captain, good to speak to you today. Your position with Prudential Financial now, I understand, is Vice President of Veterans Initiatives, and you're responsible for the company's internal veterans programs, which include supporting diversity and inclusion activities. And additionally, you oversee the Vet Talent Program that recruits, trains, and hires Iraq and Afghanistan era military veterans. Sounds like a great spot for a West Pointer, sir.
Yeah, actually, it really is. So I started out at Prudential as a project manager in our IT department. And when we opened up our Office of Veterans Initiatives in 2010, it was a really unique opportunity for the company to focus its efforts. So Prudential's had a long-standing history of supporting the military dating way back to World War II when we turned over some of our buildings in Newark, New Jersey, to the War Department. And in 2010, we really solidified what we were doing and formalized our programs, created the Office of Veterans Initiatives and a business resource group called VetNet. A few years later, I found the opportunity to join that team, and it's been a great pleasure to do that work.
Sir, it's glad to hear that Prudential supported the military for 140 years. That's a long time. Can you give us a little background, a little overview of Prudential's veterans program, sir?
Sure. So we have as a mission for what we're going to do. So, you know, being a military-type organization, we think of what are some of the things we would have by way of a mission and a vision. And our mission is to establish sustainable programs and activities to have a positive impact on the lives of veterans and their families and helping them achieve professional success, financial prosperity, and peace of mind. And our focus of that is really around education, training, and employment. So our vision is for us to be a preferred employer for veterans, and we want to be a community leader in supporting veteran service organizations and initiatives and a national leader in developing and sharing best practices for corporate veteran programs. And as you can see, with that idea of a community leader in supporting veteran service organizations ties in nicely with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, as does our desire to share our best practices. And we implement all of this work that we do with what we call our five-pillar strategy. And the whole focus in the primary pillar is around education, training, and employment. And by employment, we mean meaningful employment opportunities, not just jobs, but careers. And then for the second pillar, we have employee engagement. And that's how we can harness the passion of Prudential's employees to do some volunteer-type activities to support our efforts. Our third is thought leadership, which is how we can break down barriers to employment and retention, as well as sharing best practices with other organizations. And then we also do corporate giving through the partnership with the Prudential Foundation. We can fund other organizations who do this kind of work. And fifth, and last but not least, is our veteran and military business support, which is really how we can help our Prudential business units understand the military community and market products and services to that community, but more importantly, engage with the community and also recruit, hire, and retain military talent.
We're speaking with Jim Bemister for Vice President of Veterans Initiatives at Prudential Financial on Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, can you share with us some of your hiring programs?
Sure, Tom. Our flagship program is called Vet Talent, and Vet Talent was formed in 2010 when we saw a need. This is a time, if you can think back to that year, when veteran unemployment was at its highest. Post 9/11, servicemen and women were coming back from the wars that were still going on and having a hard time finding meaningful careers post their military service. So our focus was on the junior enlisted service member initially, and we created this program called Vet Talent in partnership with Workforce Opportunity Services, where we recruit, educate, and train service members, just recently transitioned service members, into specific career opportunities we have at Prudential. At the end of that academic phase, they go into on-the-job training, and then they go into full-time hire at Prudential. During both the academic phase and on-the-job training phase, we pay them a stipend. So we want them to go to school and focus on learning. Then we have them working on the job. We want them focused on learning. And then we're going to hire them into open positions.
And Jim, I understand you have a corporate fellowship program as well.
Yeah, so the corporate fellowship program, Tom, is really unique. And this is a program of the United States Chamber of Commerce Foundation, Hiring Our Heroes program. And this program is designed for men and women who are in their last 6 months of active duty, where they can do a fellowship with a corporation. And it's a 12-week program where they get to spend 3 to 4 days a week in the office doing the work side by side their corporate colleagues. And then they have 1 or 2 days a week where they're back in the classroom learning some skills for transitioning from active duty to civilian employment. And what's unique about this program is a lot of times military candidates, when they're going through the interview process, are what we call the silver medalist. The hiring manager says, I would hire them, but I just don't see how they quite fit. They don't have civilian experience. That 12-week fellowship period really gives them a chance to demonstrate how easily they can adapt and learn and provide meaningful work in a corporate setting.
So it gives them a chance to transfer their experiences in the military to a civilian use and speak civilian and get acclimated to Prudential.
Exactly, and the hiring manager gets to see it in action. So it's no longer a question of can they do it. Now they're actually seeing them do it.
Jim,
we also have a military spouse employment program, Tom, and this is a really unique program too, where we have the opportunity for spouses, primarily in our El Paso, Texas office, but we're looking to expand to other locations, where they can come in and they can learn their job. They can learn the climate and the culture of Prudential, learn how to work with their colleagues. And then when their service member spouse is reassigned, they assign to a new duty station, they can have a remote career. They can continue in their full-time job, same position, and work remote.
Sounds like a great program, Jim. We've just got a few minutes left. What does Prudential do to engage employees in these activities?
We have a great business resource group called VetNet, and Amy Waltman, our president, will be talking a little bit later with you about some of the different programs that we have there. But it's a great opportunity to engage and support our activities.
And what other programs and activities do Veterans Initiatives get involved with?
One of our big ones is really thought leadership, and thought leadership has two components. One is how we can break down employment barriers, and we work with some other great organizations like the University of Southern California Center for Innovative Research, the Institute for Veterans and Military Families at Syracuse, and the United States Chamber of Commerce Hiring Our Heroes program, to really communicate best practices, and this is being communicated to hiring managers, to human resource professionals, and to social workers, so we can really give veterans and military spouses the opportunity for meaningful employment. We also, the other component of that is sharing our best practices, where we can work with other organizations to show what we are doing and provide our playbook on how to implement these kinds of programs. And it provides us an opportunity to learn from them as well.
Jim, we've just got about 2 minutes left. Can you tell us a little bit about the Prudential Foundation?
Sure, Tom. This is one of the more fun parts of my job. Since 2010, the Prudential Foundation, in cooperation with the Veterans Initiatives Office, has funded more than $30 million to veteran service organizations. And the bulk of that money has gone towards funding organizations that align with our mission and our vision of providing meaningful employment opportunities for men and women. And this is where we can really extend our reach from what we can do as a company. We only hire so many men and women every year, and we only have so many programs that we can implement. But by partnering with other great organizations like the USO, the Institute for Veterans and Military Families at Syracuse, Farmers Veteran Coalition, Swords to Plowshares, The Mission Continues, and even the Home Builders Institute, we are providing real employment opportunities around a host of different disciplines and fields. Most of those careers aren't even going to be aligned with anything that might result in a career opportunity at Prudential, but that's not the point. The point is, how do we help the men and women find meaningful employment that fits for them and works for them?
Jim, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
Tom, it's great being here today with you and sharing some of our thoughts and best practices. The last piece I'd like to add is that when we do our military and veteran business support activities, you know, we're really trying to integrate what we do into our business model, which is, how do we have the business units embrace the work, not because it's something different, but because it's part of the very fabric of what we do as a company. So hiring military talent shouldn't be the flavor of the month, so to speak. It should be, this is how we do business, because it's a good thing to do. It's a great source of talent.
Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Tom, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. That was Jim Biemsdorfer, Vice President of Veterans Initiatives at Prudential Financial. We'll be back with Minnesota Military Radio in just a moment to talk about an exciting event coming up next week for Yellow Ribbon Companies here in Minnesota. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been visiting with Prudential Financial about what it takes to become a Yellow Ribbon company and all of the great things that they do to take care of their veterans and attract veteran employees and all the programs they have. And Annette, another great Yellow Ribbon company that we're talking to today.
Yes, we have had such great partnership with Prudential Financial. And as you can see by the caliber of leadership that is on the show today, we're very excited because it really shows how much they support our service members, veterans, and military families. So today, our last guest that we have from Prudential Financial is Amy Woltman. She's the Vice President of Corporate Counsel, and she's going to tell us a little bit about some of the other best practices they have at Prudential.
Amy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Annette. Great to be here.
I suppose,
I'm excited. Go ahead.
I suppose we're going to have to be a little careful. We're talking to corporate counsel, and we've got an attorney on the phone, so we'll ask nice questions and hope for good answers, Amy.
Yeah, my colleagues are kind enough to, since I'm an Army vet, too, they don't hold the attorney status against me too much. So, but very happy to be here and to get to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is our veteran-related business resource group here at Prudential that Jim mentioned earlier, which we call VetNet. And VetNet does a lot of great stuff, but what we really focus on is employee engagement. Our mission, to kind of sum it up, is to, we really look to facilitate the professional development of Prudential employees, really making sure that they hit their fullest potential. We're obviously it's important to us to represent Prudential within the military veteran community, and then also provide resources to educate Prudential employees and our leadership on military veteran issues, A lot of people aren't familiar with those issues, and so it's really great that we're given a stage to really educate other folks at Prudential, you know, about things that are important to veterans. And so some of the things that we do to accomplish, to achieve our mission, we really work on partnerships. So, you know, we just heard from Jim Bemis-Durfer in our Office of Veterans Initiatives, and I would say we have a very integral partnership with our VI office to accomplish a lot of the goals that we have. We also partner with our Office of Diversity and Inclusion and other diversity practitioners within Prudential really to further that mission. We do things like establish a mentoring network for employees at Prudential. We have both veterans and veteran supporters within VetNet, which is important to mention that because a lot of people are initially concerned that we're only looking for veterans, but we're very much looking for those veteran supporters as well to join us in our activities and our volunteerism within the community. And then, you know, really what we're looking at is just promoting partnerships with other like-minded organizations to continue to, you know, to advance our VetNet mission. So it's really great, and it's really great to have the support of so many senior leaders and also, again, all of kind of these entrenched diversity practitioners and our Office of Veterans Initiatives.
So, Amy, on the community volunteerism, since you became a Yellow Ribbon company, have you had an opportunity to interact with other Yellow Ribbon companies and other Yellow Ribbon communities when it comes to events like Memorial Day?
I have not. So I am out in our Newark, New Jersey office, but I am very excited to be attending the Fall Yellow Ribbon Summit next week in Minnesota. So I'm hoping to meet other representatives of Yellow Ribbon companies then and you know, have that kind of interaction. But to date, no, I haven't had that experience out here in New Jersey.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you next week and get that started. And I'm sure a lot of the local Prudential employees have been involved with other Yellow Ribbon entities because Annette's here and she wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, absolutely. They help us support Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair, our local community networks events, and need requests. Prudential has offered employees to help when we have a need request across the state. So we love their partnership.
And Amy, how are your employees best able to support veterans and engage in veteran-related activities at Prudential Financial?
So we have approximately 10 sites across the country that are actively engaged in supporting veterans issues and in volunteerism in the community. So, you know, we have a lot of volunteerism going on, certainly around Memorial Day and Veterans Day. We see a lot of engagement in kind of an educational space, but throughout the year, we'll see events at VA hospitals. You'll see a lot of coordination to volunteer at other events that that promote veterans. We have, I think, out in Minnesota, it was they helped veterans paint their homes. Dedication to supporting homeless veterans, those kind of activities. And then we also, you know, in addition to the other kind of educational programs we do at Prudential itself, one of the big things that we're very proud of that we get a lot of employee engagement on is our veteran-focused hiring manager training that we do. We recently instituted it in the last couple of years. We call it our Value of a Veteran Hiring Manager Training. And really what the goal of this training is, we have live instructors. More often than not, they are veterans themselves who are Prudential employees. And the goal is really to increase hiring manager understanding of veteran talent and also increase the number of veteran candidates that are made available for interviews for positions. So as Jim referenced earlier, there really sometimes is a disconnect between kind of the skills that will show up on a veteran's resume and what a hiring manager is looking for a specific position that's available. And so we look through this training to kind of make hiring managers more aware of what it is that these veterans have actually done in their military position. And then at the same time, help the hiring managers to really take a closer look at their job positions, their job openings that get posted to make them more military friendly. So instead of requiring specific certifications, we encourage our hiring managers to use language to the effect of, you know, or comparable military experience, really to make it more friendly, because half the battle sometimes is, you know, addressing the fact that people will take a look, veterans will take a look at those job postings and they won't think they're qualified and they won't even bother to apply. And so, you know, it's an attempt to really make our folks here at Prudential understand, you know, what that veteran experience is, what qualities we think a veteran would bring and that we know that veterans bring to the company, and then helping them open that door a little bit wider for veteran talent to walk in.
Amy, a lot of great things going on at Prudential Financial. I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. No, thank you for having me.
And we need to go for a couple of minutes to Annette Kuiper and talk about the Fall Yellow Ribbon Summit. And Prudential Financial has been gracious enough to host Annette.
Absolutely. They're going to be our host for our fall. Twice a year, we bring together all 56 of our Yellow Ribbon companies. And we try to do three things within that day. We build relationships, we share best practices, and we're able to educate them on any new veteran support initiatives, whether that be federal, state, or nonprofit. We get them up to speed on what's happening in the nation and the state in regards to military support. And Prudential has been a fantastic partner in hosting. The host company really showcases all of their best practices so that all the other companies can learn from them.
So all 56 companies that have been proclaimed Yellow Ribbon have been invited. A lot of them show up and exchange those best practices, which is a quick way to learn. And if any of the other companies in Minnesota want to attend that spring or fall next year, all they have to do is contact you and become Yellow Ribbon, right?
Yes. We'd love them to join our club and learn from each other and build relationships with other like-minded companies.
Well, Annette, thanks for joining us again and bringing along another great Yellow Ribbon company, Prudential Financial. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll hear from the Minnesota chapter of the Air Force Association. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
Veterans in our five state veterans homes enjoy the benefits received from volunteer contributions. Our volunteers contribute significantly to the success of our operation. By sharing laughter, smiles, or just a friendly ear, they improve the quality of life and morale of our residents. Our veterans enjoy a wide variety of recreational activities, thanks to the generous donations of time and money from communities around the state. It is impossible to calculate the amount of caring and sharing these volunteers provide to residents at our home. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them how much we appreciate all that they have done. If you or someone you know would like to make a difference, please visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the General E.W. Rawlings chapter of the Air Force Association is Dan Murphy, who is the president. Dan, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Welcome to be here.
Dan, we usually have a lot of soldiers on the show and Army people, but occasionally we get to have some of my fellow Air Force personnel on because, as you know, I was served in the Air Force in Vietnam, and it's nice to have you back so we can talk about the Air Force Association. Can you tell us about the Air Force Association? What's its purpose, mission, and objectives?
Yes, I can tell you about that. You know, first a little bit about how we got started. The Air Force Association was started in 1946. Out of Jimmy Doolittle's desire to carry into civilian life the bonds that held together the 3 million people in the Air Force. And so what our mission is to help promote a dominant United States Air Force and a strong national defense and to honor airmen and our Air Force heritage.
And, of course, you were started after the Air Force was separated from the Army because it was the Brown Shoe Army Air Force a long time ago. And my producer will remind me of that when we're done today. And so we're talking about the United States Air Force after it became a separate institution.
That's correct. But the Air Force Association itself started 1 year before to help promote that separation.
Very good. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But that's a little before my time, Dan. Now, what about your purpose, missions, and objectives?
Well, our purpose, again, is to promote a dominant Air Force. One of the ways we do that is through education, advocacy, and support for the Air Force.
And here in Minnesota, how many members do you have?
We have in our chapter about 750 members. In the Duluth chapter, we have another 180 to 200 members.
And how often do you meet?
Our chapter meets monthly. As a matter of fact, we'll meet tonight down at Signature Flight Support by the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport.
And who's eligible to be a member of the association?
Anyone that has an interest in Air Force or aerospace power is invited to attend.
And you're the president of the association, and you're not a veteran.
That's correct. I got involved through association with the aerospace industry. I went to trade shows put on by Air Force Association, and I spent a lot of my career working Air Force programs. So I joined the Air Force Association and got involved with the leadership as a way to give back to the Air Force.
So that really underscores the fact that it's open to everyone, whether you're served in the Air Force or not, served in the military or not, civilian, anyone that has anything to do with the aerospace industry, there's a home for them at the Air Force Association.
That's correct. We have cadets in Civil Air Patrol, the Reserve Officers Training Corps. Many people are members through broad spectrum.
And what's an example of some of the things you've been able to do or have an influence on? Here in Minnesota, the association and nationwide?
Well, one thing is an example. It might not seem significant, but we generated a huge mural, and we used to have that out at display at they call it the Officers Club or Services Club out by the airport. And when they closed that club, we had to relocate that mural. We took it over to Farnsworth just this past May, and we put it on a wall in their cafeteria. So it's open to anyone that goes into the Farnsworth Auditorium. They can see that mural now. It's really a tribute to Minnesota aerospace.
So on a national basis, does the Air Force Association keep track of what's going on in Congress and some of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big part of our mission, yes. We have a whole government relations department that does that. And after the national convention, which is held on an annual basis, myself and a couple of other officers will go to each congressional office in the state of Minnesota in each of the Senate offices and advocate for Air Force.
So what type of things do you talk about here in Minnesota with our state legislators?
Well, with the state, one of the big challenges that we face is that they decided to fund the Viking Stadium using charitable contributions through pull tab operations, and that's a big source of our funds. And right now, our challenge is they're taking more in state taxes out of our revenue stream than we even bring in to distribute to our needy organizations, such as Military Assistance Council for Veterans. So every year I go to the state capitol and say, please help us with some tax relief. You don't want to tax a charitable organization to the extent you're doing that.
So as an association, the Air Force Association here in Minnesota, you put on some events to do some fundraising?
We do. We put on events, and we also seek donations from corporations and individuals.
And you mentioned MACV. What other organizations do you support?
We really support the Reserve Officer Training Corps, Junior ROTC, Civil Air Patrol. We donated funds to the 934th Family Support Group, and we also work closely with the 133rd Air National Guard.
And, of course, the first one, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, and what they're trying to do is make sure that our veterans don't become homeless, and if they happen to try to bring them back, find a home, find a job, get them back on their feet.
That's correct. They really try to help them through that transitional period when they're struggling.
On a national basis, if your national officers go to see some members of Congress, what are they talking about?
Well, they're talking about supporting the Air Force budget when they go.
So they're in there actually lobbying to help the Air Force get their piece of the pie.
Yeah, they try not to say lobby, but they try to make sure that people understand the implications of the decisions they're making.
And, of course, we have to balance those budgets between men and supplies and equipment, and the Navy wants money and the Air Force wants money, and all the services have their priorities.
That's correct.
And I think sometimes it's easy to overlook the Air Force, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's really easy to overlook them because they've really had a positive impact, certainly over the last 25 years, on our efforts in the Middle East.
Well, if you're trying to do something with no boots on the ground, that leaves you with the Navy or the Air Force, doesn't it?
That's right. It sure does.
Thank you, Dan. That was Dan Murphy, the president of the Air Force Association on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one announcement today. I'm told by the Minnesota Department of Revenue that over 1,500 military service members are still eligible to claim 2013 military tax credit. The credit for military service in a combat zone for service in 2013 will expire for most qualifying service members on October 16th this year. The 2013 credit is worth $120 per month or partial month served. And to receive the credit, service members must send the following documents: Form M-99, credit for military service in a combat zone, to the state of Minnesota, postmark no later than October 16th, 2017. To find more information on that, go to revenue.state.mn.us. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week: Judy Dykhuizen, Jim Beemsdorf-Durfer, Amy Waltman, Dan Murphy, Annette Kuiper, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we learn about resiliency research at the Minneapolis VA and a local group's efforts to help homeless and struggling vets. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.